What a blessing. I'm thankful that the Lord is able to enter into any place.
Amen.
We have to be willing to let God use us, whatever it may be, even if it just seems impossible. Because I believe tonight that our God is the God of the impossible.
Amen.
He can break any barrier He wants to and open any door. And so tonight we are going to look at Mozambique. Brother Noah, you come and you share what God's put on your heart. I believe He has a presentation to show. He'll say a few words. And let's just give Him our attention as the Lord speaks through Him.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you so much, Pastor. It was a blessing to be here tonight at Crooked Creek Baptist Church and excited about what God's doing here in this place. And thank you so much, church, from the bottom of our heart. My wife and I want to thank you for the kindness and hospitality you've shown to us so far, the sweet gift basket you've made for us. And this is just a sweet church, and we're refreshed to be with you. Thank you so much for having that sweet spirit about you. And anybody heard of Mozambique before? I just want to know. Okay, a couple people. Anybody know where it's at? Okay, a couple people big on geography. All right, how about Madagascar? Anybody from Madagascar? Okay, that's a little bit more familiar. The island there off the southeast coast. Well, Mozambique kind of runs parallel with the country of Madagascar. Kind of runs that southeastern coast. And that's where God's called my wife and I to plant churches. We firmly believe that if a place has a church, they have a chance. That's what we believe. They got a church, they have a chance. So what do they have a chance to do? No, they got a chance to hear the gospel first and foremost. And they got the chance to be saved. I'm thankful for a local church. I believe in a local church. I was saved through the ministry of a local church. At 5 years old, I was saved through a children's church. I'm thankful for churches who emphasize kids hearing the gospel at an early age. My wife was saved through a ministry of a local church. It was a teen camp. Anybody been to teen camp before? She was saved as a 14-year-old girl there at teen camp. And I'm just thankful. I believe that the Lord has chosen to use a local church to reach the world with the gospel. Local churches just like this one, Crooked Creek Baptist, and the people here gathered to reach into the uttermost parts of the earth. And the local church is an institute of God. And I'm thankful for it. And the people of Mozambique need a chance to be involved in a local church like this one. They get a chance to hear the Word of God. Aren't you thankful for your pastor? Thankful for a good pastor to preach the Word week in and week out. The Mozambicans seem that same chance to grow thereby, to grow in the grace that they've been saved by. And so we're excited to see what God's going to do. My wife and I are from Knoxville, Tennessee. That's where our sending church is. Anybody know where Knoxville is? There's a lot more hands. Okay, good. Bring it a little bit more local. So that's where we're from, and sent from Southside Baptist Church there in Knoxville, Tennessee. And this, we have a short video presentation. It kind of walks you through a testimony of how God brought us from East Tennessee to Southeast Africa. And it kind of shows a couple of things there and a little bit more about the country. And then after the video presentation, I'll get back up and expound a little bit further. And then looking forward to the preaching of God's Word, aren't you? Amen. Looking forward to what God has for us tonight, and praying for you, Brother Stedman. All right, go ahead and play that video if you don't mind, guys, and we'll get to it. Thank you.
Amen. God desires to reach the world with the glorious message of His Son, Jesus Christ. My wife and I wanted to go where the gospel was not being preached, a country that for centuries had not been evangelized. I was saved as a 5-year-old boy when I realized I was a sinner and was on my way to hell without Jesus. I put my faith in Jesus alone for my salvation. Growing up through high school, I desired to tell others about this life-changing message. One of those young men was a freshman that I began to disciple. He had moved from Brazil to my public high school in Tennessee. He spoke some English, but his first language was Portuguese. Week after week, we would study the Bible, and over time, my heart became burdened for Portuguese-speaking people. My eyes were open to entire populations that didn't know about Jesus Christ. I began praying about where God would have me to serve Him. I was willing to go anywhere in order to get the message of the cross to people who have never heard. After taking a trip to West Africa in 2018, my eyes and heart were open to the need for the gospel in the continent of Africa with 1.4 billion souls. I began praying and researching countries throughout this enormous continent. Countries after country I would research and wonder, God, where in this world would you have me to serve you? After high school, I moved to the state of Maine to further my Bible education and learn under my grandfather's mentorship about gospel ministry from a pastor's perspective. I returned to work on staff for a year and a half at my home church in Tennessee, where I was able to watch God save many of my friends who follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Following our time in Tennessee, my wife and I moved down to Alpharetta, Georgia for a year to further our missionary training with Vision Baptist Missions. We began praying and seeking the Lord's guidance about where He would have us to serve Him. Our hearts were burdened about the enormous continent of Africa, billions of souls in dire need of the gospel. We came across the country of Mozambique, a country of over 30 million souls off the southeast coast of Africa, a country with 50% of the population under the age of 18, and their only official language was Portuguese. Hey, I was shocked. An African country with an official language of Portuguese? The Lord used this time to rekindle the burden He had put in my heart for Portuguese-speaking people back in high school. Lord, could this be the place that You would have our family serve You in? From that moment on, days and nights were spent in research and much prayer. It was time to take action. My wife and I took an internship to South Africa for 3 months. 20 hours north of South Africa awaited the country that we had been praying for. We crossed the border from South Africa and headed to the capital city, Maputo. As we surveyed the city, we passed countless millions as they sought for hope in everything but the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, is this the place that You would have our family serve You in? We found very little works. The laborers were few. The harvest was plenteous. God, where are the laborers? I asked. Lord, are You calling our family to this needy country torn by war and desperation? We found one Baptist missionary in the capital city of Maputo. After presenting the great need to my wife and I, the missionary looked me in the eyes and said, "Son, I'm 70 years old. We are retiring this year. We're passing off the baton. Will you pick it up? Will you bring the gospel to the country of Mozambique?" The words of Isaiah 6:8 flooded my heart and mind. Here am I. Send me. Verses like Romans 10:14-15 filled my heart. How then shall they call upon Him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Now church, will you run with the Wilkersons to carry the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to the country of Mozambique?
About 7 months ago today that my wife and I were there in the home of that missionary I was telling you about. We were there in the southeast coast of Africa. You can imagine with me, it was a hot day outside. It was pushing nearly 100 degrees, and it was a busy city, capital city there, Maputo. And the cars were honking, and dust was flying in the air. You know, the ladies were dressed in their bright but very modest African apparel, and we were just trying to take it all. We were trying to take as much as we could in. You know, we were trying to take it in. I reached out to the missionary, Brother Troster, and said, "Hey, can we come over? And I want to talk with you, or can we meet up for lunch or something?" And he said, "Sure, my wife wants to cook you a meal." And so Miss Joan, she had just finished cooking us a meal. It was chicken and rice done Mozambican style. It was really delicious. And we're sitting there in his kitchen. The air conditioner, Brother McQueen, was pumping as fast as it could go. It was pumping hot. It was trying to cool down a little living room. And so we were there, and our bellies were full of chicken and rice, you know. I asked the missionary, I said, "What's God doing here? Tell me some stories about how the gospel is penetrating lives and penetrating hearts. And tell me what the Lord's doing. Tell me what God's doing here." And he told me story after story and walked me through. And one of the stories I really stuck with me was about a young man. His name was Helio. He was 15 years old. Didn't surprise me very much, being so young, because of the population, being very young. But he was 15 years old. He had a God-sized hole in his heart. He was searching. He was wondering. He practiced something called animism. It's a spirit worship, ancestral worship. And he was awfully confused. It was mixed in with Catholicism, and he just had a lot of questions, and he was just concerned. He stumbled across a little Baptist church that God had used the missionary to start there in the capital city, and he heard the gospel for the first time. He got curious. He said, "I want to know more." Came back a second time and heard it again. He came back a third time, and the missionary said that's when it did it. The Lord saved him that third time. He put his faith and trust in Christ alone. He believed in Jesus. I want to know more about this Jesus that's now in my heart. Can you tell me about him? The missionary said, yeah, that's kind of what I'm here to do. You know, and so for 5 years, they studied the Bible one-on-one. Studied the Bible for 5 years. And just like our God, when he was 20 years old, he literally turned 20 and said, and he started feeling the desire to preach God's Word. God called him to preach the Bible. And he said, man, he met the love of his life when he was 21. 21 years old, he met the love of his life, and they got married. And I want you to pray for Helio. Him and his wife, they're going 45 minutes outside the city. And they're going to start another church. They're going to do that. And I want you to pray for him and his wife. And it's just an amazing story about how the gospel's going forward. The gospel's moving forward. Because, dear friend, the gospel's not bound by boundary. It's not bound by border or country line. Or by language even. The Bible tells us that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Yeah. To everyone that believes. Hey, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Aren't you thankful for that? That's what the gospel is. It can save anyone that believes in it. And that's just what our God does. And it works here in Athens, and it works miles upon miles there in Mozambique. And we were sitting there in his home, you know, and our bellies are full. And he said, before you leave, we had a good time of fellowship. But he said, I want to show you something. And he pulls out a little projector. And he set it there on his kitchen table. Set it there on his kitchen table, and we're gathered around. And he puts something on his kitchen wall. And I said, well, what's this? And he said, this is an outline of Maputo. This is the outline of the capital city. You're looking at 3 million. The country has got 30 million here. But this is 3 million. My home state of Tennessee has got 6 million. You know, it's just such a big number. I had a hard time comprehending it. But he said, this is where we're at. And he kind of X marks the spot. This is where we're sitting at here in the capital. He said, God's used us to plant a church in this location there. He said, he's used us to plant a church on this location. Well, thank God he's used us to plant a church here with Helio. He was excited telling us about the church plants, those three church plants. And he said, Noah, there's a pocket here of Anguani. It's 150,000. He said, we don't know the gospel preaching church in this area. He said, this pocket here has got 75,000. No gospel preacher church we know of. This pocket here has got 100,000. No gospel preacher church we know of. And this is all on his kitchen wall. And I said, what in the world? He said, no, I don't tell you that to discourage you, but I tell you that because you can take a dart right now. He sees it. You can peg it against my kitchen wall. Get to work planting churches. There will be churches miles upon miles of where you're at. He said, the need is just so great. We've got such a great need here. He said, Noah, if I had another lifetime, I'd spend it right here in the country of Mozambique. That's what I do. I'd spend it right here. He said, the people are ready to hear. And so the harvest is white. It's ready. People are willing to listen. They're wanting to hear. They're searching for hope and the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. He said, man, if I had another life, I'd spend it right here. So the only problem is, he said, I'm 71 years old. My mission board, he was with Baptist Mid-Mission. They wanted to come off the field when he was 70. And he's already pushed the status quo a little bit to 71. And he said, I don't think they're going to give me much longer. He said, on top of that, he said, I've got grandchildren back in Illinois. So I've never met him before. I'm excited to be a grandfather to them. Never seen him. And he said, we're kind of discouraged, but at the same time optimistic. And he was kind of pulled, you know. He was kind of in between two. And he didn't really know. He was excited about the future and optimistic about what God could do, but discouraged about leaving. But also excited about leaving at the same time. He was just pulled. Remind me a little bit about the Apostle Paul there in 2 Timothy. Remember that? Coming to the end of a ministry. There's a little bit of a different urge. A little bit of a different a plea and an urgency to his message. And he was kind of pulled. So the missionary's there in his kitchen, and he pulls out a little Sharpie pen. Pulls out that Sharpie pen and starts tapping a little bit and says, Noah, so I don't think it's coincidence at all that you're sitting here in our kitchen. My wife Joan and I have spent hours begging God to raise up laborers. Begging God to send forth more people to this white harvest field. We know what God can do here. We've been begging God to do it. He said, man, I've run my race. I fought the good fight of faith, Noah. I finished my course. I did what God's called me to do here. And now it looks like it's over. Looked at that sharp pen and put it in my eyes, right before my eyes. Said, hey, would you pick it up? Would you bring the gospel to the country of Mozambique? Kind of took that little Sharpie pen from Brother Troster, and to be honest with you, I didn't think much about it. I really didn't. But days go by, and God started working in my heart. God started working in my wife's heart. We started seeing, we started looking, and started looking back at what God's doing there, and our eyes have seen the multitudes, and our hearts were moved with compassion towards them. I saw the people that most likely had never heard the gospel that I've heard since I was a 5-year-old boy. Started seeing the people that my wife was looking at that never heard the gospel before, and she's believed it since she was 14. We started seeing, and I just couldn't get past this one simple truth. I had the gospel, and they didn't. I knew without a shadow of a doubt, I had a peace that surpasses understanding. Hey, that if I were to die right now, I'd have a place in heaven. Heaven's my home. Jesus is my King. He's my Savior. I know that. And there's nobody that's going to convince me otherwise. The Lord is my Savior. I know that. Jesus is my King. I've put my faith and trust in Him alone. I've been saved by His grace. And they didn't. I knew that heaven was my home. And according to the Bible, we're Bible believers. We know there's two places people are going to go. According to God's Word, it's heaven or hell. It's hell without Jesus Christ or it's heaven with Jesus Christ. Boils down to being pretty much that simple. Majority of those 30 million are going to spend an eternity in a place called hell. And I had the message. Oh, I'm so excited. So excited to take the message of life to the people in Mozambique. But dear friend, I don't want to... Please don't take it the wrong way. My wife and I are not the answer. We're not the answer for Mozambique. We're not. We're nothing special. Get to know us long enough, we're just average Joes from Knoxville. Below average at that, I promise. But our God is awesome. Our God is wonderful. And our God has a great plan. And our God loves people. Our God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Our God has a great plan, and He wants to do a great thing. So we step out on the promises of God, saying, Lord, You said You're going to do it. We go on promises like the Apostle John reminded us when Jesus said, hey, I'm going to build my church. The gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. We go on that promise saying, Lord, You're going to build the church. You're going to save people. Amen. I'm not the one that's going to save them. I simply declare the message and give the message, but it's the God of heaven who saves. I'm not the one who's going to build the church. I can supply some funds and some ideas and some vision, but it's the God of heaven who's going to build His church. So thankful for the promises of God. Think about this church. 208 years this church has gone on for the gospel because God's built this church. God's the one who's going to do it there. In Mozambique, we're excited about what God is going to do. What God is going to do, and just by faith, just believe in our God. Think about a missionary. His name was William Carey. We've mentioned a couple times during this conference. You've probably heard of him. How many have heard of William Carey? William Carey, great missionary of days gone by. God used him greatly in India and saw great work done. But he wrote something in a biography, and I'll never be able to forget. This is what William Carey said in a biography. He said, my greatest fear in life is not failing. He said, my greatest fear in life is being successful at something that doesn't matter. That's what he said. It's got to hit me for a second, because so oftentimes we're so scared of failing. We're so scared of falling short. He said, I don't really care about failing. Just don't let me be successful at something that doesn't matter. The Apostle Paul said something similar to that in Philippians chapter 2. Verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The Apostle Paul, he says, man, he's thinking about that day of Christ, that glorious day when he stands before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He says, I don't want to run in vain. I don't want to labor in vain. Hey, dear Christian, aren't you thankful you don't have to? Aren't you thankful that Jesus is your King, that you get to run with purpose and with meaning and with direction because your God is high and lifted up? Aren't you thankful you don't have to run in vain? What a wonderful God we have. Amen. But dear friend, the Mozambicans are. They're running in vain. They're running a life that doesn't really matter. Thought about it? What does it matter if they get a new car? What does it matter if they get a new house? Hey, what does it matter if they get their dream job? It's all in vain. Does it matter? Unless Jesus becomes their Savior, then it's all worth it. It's worth it all. So that's the message we're declaring. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Him crucified, but then Him risen again the third day. That we can have life through His name, by grace through faith. What a message. Church, would you run with us, take the gospel to the country of Mozambique, excited about what God's going to do there in that country. I'll pray. Hand it over to Pastor. Lord, we love You. We thank You for this church and this conference. Lord, as we cast our eyes upon the multitudes that don't know You, Lord, we want to set our hearts, Lord, in humility towards You. And yes, ask You to work, Lord, in our hearts individually, for our community here in Athens, and Lord, our workplace, and the family You've put us in. Lord, You have a great desire to see sinners come unto repentance. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Lord, You've given us Your mission statement, and we just want to see You do a great work in our generation. Lord, we're expecting great things from You tonight. Prepare our hearts for the preaching of Your Word. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All God's people said. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Noah. Appreciate that testimony and his heart for Mozambique. You know, these places that we don't know about, maybe never heard of, not familiar with, we can be assured of this bitter thing. God is most aware of each of these places, each of these villages, each of these towns.
And only God Himself and His sovereign power can take a little church in Jackson County called Crooked Creek Baptist Church to reach some young person in Mozambique or in the public school of Georgia or in New Zealand. And you fill in the blank with all these countries that we get a part in reaching them. And the fact of the matter is, God has not called us all to go personally to Mozambique or any of these other countries. He may call us. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that sensed the voice of the Holy Spirit prompting you to pray about going to Mozambique. I would encourage you to take that to heart. Maybe there's a young person here. Listen up, young people. Maybe there's somebody here that God is tugging on your heart about one of these places. It may not be any of them. It may be somewhere that's not even been mentioned. I don't know. But we need to be willing and ready to go. I'm thankful that that quote I heard, the strength of the local church or the testimony of the local church should not be on its seating capacity, but its sending capacity. Where are the laborers going? Are we going? Are we being sent forth? Thank you, dear brother, for that.